So I guess I can actually tee off of that into another question here, which is because that question obviously concerns use of, let's say, AI or AI related tools in creative output. What are your thoughts on how that could affect software development?
I don't know. Basically, I don't think that we have real AI software that can do better than humans can at fi solving the problems involved in writing a program to do a job correctly. There is a thing called, well, its official name is Copilot, but I like to add an I and get, no, add an A and get copy a lot. But basically, it's something like a language model, except it's for code. And it can suggest things to you, but whether they're correct or incorrect, well, you can't trust those generative models anymore, and you can trust others. Not when it's a matter of being correct. And with software, it's a matter of being correct. It always is. And those things don't know from correct. So if you're going to use one of those, you have to be able to check whether the code it suggests to you is actually correct.
Which I suppose to some circumstance kind of diminishes the utility of it.
Right. I mean, it may still be of some use. I don't know. I wouldn't think of using copy a lot because of some of the moral circumstances of how people get to use it. It's not a program that you can install on your computer, so it's not a free program. It's not even a non-free program. What's available is not a program. It's an online disservice, which you can only use under the control of who set up that server. And if the job you want to do is, properly speaking, your own computing, but it's going to be under the power of somebody else who set up a server, that is not just. Because if you're doing your computing, you deserve control over how it's done. And the only way you can have that control is if a free program has been released and you can install and run your version of it. Well, you can't install your version of the code that implements copy a lot, just as you can't install your version of the code that runs ChatGPT. Because that code's not released. The functionality is available only through a service. And whenever a program that's doing a useful job is available only to run someone else's co to talk to somebody else's copy, you can't even run it. You can only talk to it. That is not just.
So, obviously, a lot of these tools we're seeing implemented as these services. Do you see perhaps a path forward where things like this could be more locally available, controllable
Oh,
tools?
it's po certainly possible. Just somebody has to develop one and release it as free software. And I believe there is at least one language model that is available as free software, including the neural network. But there's nothing fundamentally difficult about it. It's just it goes against the grain of companies that are seeking to have more and more power over people's computing. First step is don't release a free program, release a proprietary program instead, and the users don't get the source code. And the next step beyond that is don't release it in any form, not even an executable, but just run it on the company's own server, and people have to log in on the company's server and identify themselves and stuff like that. And then they can talk to the program. They can give it a job to do and see the results that come out. We call that service as a software substitute, which is pronounced SaaS, but it's not spelled the same way.
It's my I've never used Copilot. I know something a lot of people are concerned about is, and of course this has to do with software licenses, because it seems everything has to do with software licenses. But people are concerned about the mixing of ideas from software with incompatible licenses and the various legal implications that could arise from that.
Well, that's a perhaps misstated. You see, copyright doesn't cover ideas at all. This is explicitly stated in U.S. copyright law. Copyright covers the details of expression of a work of authorship. And only the details of expression. Anything big enough that it makes sense to call it an idea is not copyrightable. And so it may be, you know, someone can write a novel, and in that novel many things happen, and so you could see various ideas. But the ideas are not covered by the copyright. It's the details of expression that are copied, that are covered by copyright. So if you... I see that, though, you're raising a real issue. It's just we should describe it the right way. It's not mixing ideas from various works. It's mixing text from various works. Perhaps not exactly copied. But basically, in spirit, copied from various works. And that is an issue. Because suppose, you know, it violates copyright to take passages, even paraphrased a little, and put them together if they come from works that don't have compatible licenses or don't have licenses at all. You know, more than half of the projects in GitHub don't carry any license, which means they're just totally restricted. They're non-free, period. So the problem is not limited to the things that are free. It's even worse for the projects in GitHub that are non-free. GitHub is pertinent because Copilot is a service offered by the GitHub servers, if I understand right. So
yes.
The only place one can use it is in GitHub and on the works that are in GitHub.
Yes.
Which include lots and lots that carry no license at all, which means they give users no permission at all. And that's the worst, you might say, thing about GitHub. But anyway, but as long as what's being copied is a tiny fragment, it's not an issue, because you can copy tiny fragments of code like that or tiny fragments of sentences. The thing about Copilot is occasionally it will just keep copying the next part of the same work. That is, and it ends up copying so much that it is copyright infringement. Because really, legally, it doesn't matter whether the text you copied is copied through CopyAlot or if you just cut the whole thing and pasted it. It's equivalent. All that matters is what did you copy? And how big is that? If it's like 5 or 10 words, that's generally not a problem. Even if it's several lines, it's not a problem unless it's something really tremendously exciting about those lines. But on the other hand, when you copy 50 lines, it's pretty clear. Copyright covers that.
It does get particularly interesting, and I guess this is sort of more of an artifact of, I'm not sure if it's typically American copyright law or perhaps more Western ideas about copyright law, but there's interesting stuff like things that are purely analytical, like instructions, for instance. So I think very, very famously, recipes are not copyrightable. And so if large companies want to maintain ownership and monopoly over that particular set of instructions, the only tool they have available to them is simply to prevent disclosure.
Well, it might be good that way because people who cook share recipes. By the way, you can distinguish between the recipe in an abstract sense. What operations do you perform? What ingredients do you put in and how? Versus the text in which a recipe is expressed. And my understanding is the latter is copyrightable, but the former is not. Which means you can express the same set of cooking operations in different words, and you can publish that. And that's tremendously important. In fact, one way of understanding how unjust non-free software is to imagine that there were a campaign of bullying and threats against people who make copies of recipes and give them to their friends. Which is a very common thing among people who cook. So that will show you the oppression of non-free software. Just imagine it in a different but quite similar domain.
So, do you have different perspectives on protections of works depending on whether they are purely creative or whether they're functional and serve some sort of utility?
Well, I don't want to. The word protection means you're trying to prevent some sort of damage. And I think that's inappropriate here. What sort of damage could we be talking about? How is either a novel or a program going to be somehow damaged by more people using it or even by people making modified versions of it? I think that word is simply propaganda. But you have a sensible question in there. It's just the way you expressed it that I'm criticizing. If you like, I could try to extract the non-propaganda issue from those words of question.
Oh, by all means.
Basically, do I think copyright should treat different kinds of works differently? And to some extent
Yes.
it does anyway. I mean, the way copyright applies to an algebra textbook is quite different from the way it applies to song lyrics or song melodies. Each of these areas has a legal tradition built up as court decisions, and they're different. But I advocate a deeper difference. I do distinguish between functional works whose use to society is you use them to do a job, and other works which don't do a job. And that's not to mean that they're less important. You know, a poem isn't meant to do a job. A novel isn't meant to do a job, but at least usually not. But a program or a textbook or a recipe is meant to do a job. That's what it's mainly for. So my conclusion is works that serve a functional purpose should be free. But works that don't serve a functional purpose, they don't need to be free. But people must be free to make and non-commercially redistribute exact copies of any published work.
Okay.
Now that's a lot less than for a work to be free. For a work to be free, you got to be free to make and publish modified versions of it commercially too. And that freedom we should have for programs, recipes, patterns for sewing, and various other works that we use to make things or do things.
A great quote comes to mind from Arthur Weiland, David Weiland, of Monolithic Memories, penned as Weiland's Law of Automation. Anything that can be automatically done for you can be automatically done to you.
Right. That's somewhat like the idea of the injustice of non-free software. Whatever the non-free program does, since the users don't control it, is likely to be done to them by whoever does control it.